This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
What a dart!
That got the joint jumping.
Patrick retains Thompson. Let's it go. Score!
What a play by the defensive captain.
Yeah!
Jimbo Cook.
Gary Cooley. The kid is cool.
Here we go.
Are you kidding me?
Ukko Pekka Luukkonen.
And it's intercepted. Now he's going to take it and run.
Yeah.
He's a beast with a capital B.
Let's go, Buffalo.
Full beast mode in TNT.
No timer.
It is Bills game night here at KeyBank Center.
I'm fired up.
I thought you might be.
This was excellent. Whoever put it together, I love it, and I'm fired up now. I'm going to be screaming, let's go Buffalo at Buffalo Creek's casino tonight.
Hang on to that fading voice of yours.
I won't be screaming.
No need to
but
scream.
But I'll be shouting.
Yes. Yes, you will. It's back-to-back for the Sabres. It's the first Bills night. We've got Pete Guelli, COO of both teams, and Sabres alternate governor joining us a little bit later on in the show. Mm-hmm. There's a lot here. It's, again, inching closer to the trade deadline, which is Friday. It's the back end of back-to-back where Buffalo got 1 point and not two out of Montreal last night. It's San Jose in tonight on the heels of their first shootout win of the year, their first win in the last nine games. There's a lot to unpack, and, you know, one expects Ukko Pekka Luukkonen to return to the crease tonight. How do you look at just this turnaround, this now window where Buffalo hasn't been able to get the points they were needing, demanding, craving over the last three games?
Yeah, so 5 out of 10, not 7 out of 10, like Lindy Ruff has been mentioned, is what they need to be able to do. So, you know, you got to look at the next five now. Can you make up? Can you go 8 out of 10 or 9 out of 10 or 10 out of 10 and say we're going to try to play catch up a little bit on what, you know, you needed to do in the first segment? The problem for me is that where it started really well, two goals against when you played the Rangers in a blowout, 8-2, two goals against Anaheim. You came back in the third to win it 3-2. Over the last three games, you've given up too many goals, 5, 4, and 4. Mm-hmm. So that's where the problem is. And I know two of them were empty net goals, and, you know, the games were still tight when you look at, you know, Montreal in overtime. The first Montreal game was a 3-2 with a chance to maybe tie it late. Mm-hmm. So they've been tight, but one of those games, you give up one less goal, all of a sudden you're at 6 or 7 points where you want to be. So that's the key right now. Now we got the next five is San Jose, Tampa, Florida, Edmonton, and Detroit. That's what you got to focus on now. You got to go 4-0, 4-0-1 in those five to catch up from what happened the last five.
Right, and what they felt yet again against the Canadiens last night was, to your point, an awful lot of offense. Big night for Nick Suzuki, four points for him, two more points for Lane Hutson. If you can believe this, Lane Hutson passed Chris Chelios as the fastest defenseman to 50 career points in franchise history. We're talking about the Montreal Canadiens.
Yes. Well, he did already pass Chris Chelios this year for a streak. I think it was points in nine or ten.
And how about this? Like, in NHL history, fewest games to 50 career points, rookie defensemen. Larry Murphy, Brian Leetch, Cale Makar, Stefan Persson, who doesn't get nearly enough credit for where he was and what he meant to the Islanders dynasty, Nick Lidstrom, Phil Housley, Barry Beck. Like, and then there's Lane Hutson. This is crazy what this uber-talented young defenseman has meant to this Montreal team that is there now, knocking on the door of a playoff spot, and it just, it makes it that much more, I'm sure, frustrating from a Sabre standpoint, because we talked about it briefly last night. The first meeting in this building, Veterans Day, back and forth, Buffalo was up, gave up that late second period goal.
Yes.
If not two of them.
And
if,
that's
if,
the
if,
one where
Lukanen came out.
Levi went in.
Yep.
And then you
they
start
lost the, 7-5.
Yeah, but you start the third period, and all of a sudden, Montreal makes a goalie change as well. And you got, what,
four shots on
Sam Montembeau
after
Keaton Primeau had left the game. And look, Montreal is also a team that's dealing with adversity right now. They've dealt with injuries. They've dealt with injuries to Caden Gooley on the back end, now Kirby Dach up front. They've had some players that have not performed as well as you wanted them to. They've got guys that are on the block, UFAs like Jake Evans and Yoel Armia. They've got a decision to make before Friday. They're very similar to what the Sabres have or have been going through. The difference is that Montreal has been able to, first of all, go 4-0. The Sabres go 0-3-1 against Montreal. That's a big difference right now. There's 8 points that, you know, goes a swing to the other.
And they've won five in a row now out of the break. And Buffalo started hot out of the break, but now 0-2-1 in the last three.
If Buffalo had won five in a row, that means they would have caught up to Montreal now, and they'd be in the middle of the pack along with Flyers and the Montreal Canadiens and the Boston Bruins. And, you know, there's big games tonight. And I know for the Sabres, you're saying, okay, worry about what you can do.
Right.
Which is getting your 7 or now 8 points in a five-game, you know, stretch or whatnot, and I totally get that. But you look at the games tonight. Detroit is hosting the Carolina Hurricanes. That's a big game for Detroit. Columbus is at Tampa. Tampa played last night in Florida. We're stopped in their winning ways. Mm-hmm. Florida wins 2-1. You've got New Jersey, who is in Dallas. We were just talking off air earlier about how the Devils now. We didn't even talk about that yesterday. The loss of Jack Hughes, the injury Sunday against the Vegas Golden Knights, and it's big. New Jersey could be in a bit of a problem right now when you look at the standings. They're third in the Metro, but the teams in the wild card and the teams out of the playoffs are coming in strong. So there's a lot of big games tonight that will affect the Eastern Conference landscape.
So Buffalo got the win in San Jose before. We talk probably too much about the Sharks on this show just because I have found it almost impossible to believe, based on the nature of many of their games, the leads that they've had in their games, the heartbreaking manner in which they have continually lost, including 8 in a row prior to last night and 14 of the last 15 prior to last night, but somehow they managed to come back from a deficit in Toronto, hold on, get to the shootout, overcame a deficit in the shootout, and won for the first time in a shootout. So, based on everything you just said about Buffalo and where they are at now, three days away from the trade deadline and three straight losses, like, how do you look at this matchup here tonight?
Well, first off, you look at the San Jose Sharks, and you know they got a ton of young talent, right? The Macklin Celebrini, the Will Smith. These are players that you should know about. you should pay attention to. So, yeah, they have a lot of young talent. That's why they've had the season that they've had. They've been in games, sometimes up 5-3 with 10 minutes left in a game just to lose it 6-5 mm-hmm. in regulation or in overtime. But they've had a lot of inexperience showing
yes.
when it comes to the San Jose Sharks. Now, I know that they have acquired some veterans to try to help, and one of them helped last night, Tyler Toffoli.
Oh.
He was the third player for the Sharks to go in the shootout. Willie Nylander had just scored. So it's the third round. Nylander scores. The Leafs go up 1-0 in the shootout. Toffoli has to get in. He scored. And that's the veteran and the maturity and the experience that comes through. But many times this year, the Sharks have shown their inexperience. And I think this is where the Sabres have to push down a little bit. The Sharks played last night. Big win in Toronto. Emotional win. You push on them at the start of this game, and you don't give them any opportunity to. And maybe that's because last night they gave Montreal all the opportunities in the first period. Mm-hmm. Montreal got up to a 3-0 lead. That can't happen. I know that you can always come back against San Jose, but how about you don't do that? You start the game the right way. You stay disciplined. You push San Jose where they need to be, and you take over the game from the start.
They ended up having a terrific performance from Georgiev last night.
Yeah.
And those have been, unfortunately for them, after the expected but still bold trade of Mackenzie Blackwood, you know, there was a hope that Georgiev could still come in and give something similar. But and it's not just on him, obviously. And then there was the Vanecek absence, which promoted Askarov for a while. But you know what? Nobody wants to hear about San Jose's goaltending. I think they want to know just where Lukanen is at after you watch. You undoubtedly felt the same frustration as your teammates going down 3-0 in the first period. You know that first periods have been a little challenging here coming over the past week and a half. And you know your season numbers today. Yes, he's above 500. That's in itself like, if you saw the win-loss record, you would think, oh, like, Buffalo's got to be close here to the playoff spot. No?
I hate to say it that way, but I remember my early days as the starting goalie in Buffalo when it was me and Bob Essenza and me and Mika Noren and before mm-hmm. Ryan Miller came up. And I had a couple of years where I was a game two or three games over 500 for the season. And that's when there wasn't shootouts, there wasn't loser points, so you're looking at it and you're saying, okay, 84, 85, 86 points were getting you in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, I did what I had to do. I'm 3 or 4 games over 500. That would, if my backup goaltender would have played for 500 hockey, would have gotten me in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, it didn't happen. When you're Lukanen right now, you're saying, I'm 3 games over 500. Now, I have a chance maybe for now until the rest of the year to gain another 3, 4, 5, 6 games over 500. If I personally end up at the end of the year 7 or 8 games over 500, did I do enough for my team to get in? Because then you got to look and say, okay, what did you have as support? What did you have as result from your backup goaltending? And if they were to play 500, that puts you in probably the 89 to 91 point range.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying that's a selfish way of looking at it. That's more of a, what is my job? And then how can everybody else do their job to try to get you there? But the last two games that Lukanen's played, got pulled against the Carolina Hurricanes, right? That was an early pull at 2-0.
Yeah.
But it still feels like, ugh, I got pulled in that game. Mm-hmm. And then you go against Montreal, and you lose the game on Saturday night here at KeyBank Center. So, and then you didn't play last night. So, you know, maybe he wanted that chance last night to go against Montreal, but he had already lost 3 games this year, so you got to change it up.
Right.
So I think if I'm looking at Lukanen tonight, it's like I'm putting up the wall. That has to be the approach pretty much every night, but on this night, it's I'm putting up the wall, and I have to do it to help my team win.
For those scoring at home, he actually didn't take the loss in the first meeting because the third period presented a little back and forth. So
and he didn't take the loss in Carolina either. after right. being pulled. That was
but he did have 27 wins last year, and he's at 20 right now. And yet, and I know you've said it and examined it from a goal saved above expectation, it just hasn't been the same year. So, again, all the team stuff and where they're at aside, and I know that that's still the most important thing, like what individually can Luukkonen do now, in your opinion? Like, where is the area of focus? Are there technicalities? You say, and I know you don't love getting into an over-examination too much at this point in time, but there's still a month to go for him. I mean, he played 54 games last year. He's played 43 this year. I suggest and would He'll suspect that he's going to get past 54 games.
There's 23 games
right?
left. He's probably going to play 16 or 17
exactly,
of them, so
yeah.
he's going to get
He'll
close
play
to 60
games. Yeah.
So, yeah, but I do feel that because Luukkonen's played a lot this season, I feel like at times there's little things that creep into your game. He's at his best when he uses his body and his athleticism, but he's not chasing. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the last few games, there's a lot of chasing. Look, the Rangers game was an 8-2 game, right? And both goals were nice, like deflections and tap-ins and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But even in that game, at times, there was a little bit of chasing that happened. So that would be my one thing. If you're going to be at your best against San Jose tonight, just let the game come to you. Don't chase it around. You just open up room and doors that are not there on any given night. So you know, there's goalie like Georgiev. That's a problem with Georgiev. Mm-hmm. He played a good game last night, but the problem that I had with Georgiev with Colorado and the problem that obviously has carried over to San Jose is Georgiev can be all over the place, chasing the game. Extremely talented, extremely athletic, mm-hmm. but it's not under control. So I want Luukkonen to be a little bit more under control and show that you can do that over 60 games in a season. That's why Hellebuyck plays 65, 67, 68 games. Mm-hmm. He's always under control.
Right.
There's never wasted energy anywhere, and he can be at the high level for all those games.
Well, one would expect both goaltenders would feel very comfortable about this matchup tonight. Luukkonen is 4-1 against San Jose. Vitek Vanacek.
Don't even want to talk about that.
And 2-1. 2-1 against the Sabres
the
in his career.
The COVID year really helped him when he was with Washington, and all he did is in three games straight here in Buffalo or three games straight in Washington and then three games straight again Buffalo here. Mm-hmm. It was Vitek Vanacek somehow pulling off wins after wins after wins.
Yeah, it was from a good news standpoint amidst their shootout win last night was the fact that Celebrini played. So, you know, the hope is to get to see him up close again here tonight on Bills Night.
And if you want, like, we don't have votes on the Calder Trophy, the Rookie of the Year. And
well, this is exactly why I prodded you hard at the start of the show last night, because I think Lane Hutson has to be the favorite
he's
now.
He's probably the favorite now, but I'll tell you this, and most people watching or listening don't have votes either. I'm sure there's some that do have a vote. But you got to see Lane Hutson last night. Watch Macklin Celebrini tonight.
Yeah.
And, like, say, okay, which one did you like best? Maybe we got a great game from Hutson last night. We actually got great games from Hutson the last two nights. Mm-hmm. But, you know, maybe you'll get a great game from Celebrini. Maybe you won't. But just watch him. Watch him, how he plays. He's just a young kid. He's younger than Hutson. Hutson played college hockey mm-hmm. and everything. So Celebrini's younger, but he's having a great, great season as well.
Last night, it was Zetterlund scoring in the shootout in the fourth round to win it. Did you happen to, I don't know if you caught the start of the shootout, the first opportunity for Mitch Marner, and the stick snapped on him, and Georgiev actually stopped the stick, the half of the stick, and the puck never ended up coming anywhere close. And yet, you know, Toronto kept going. Eventually, they had the lead in the shootout. And like you say, Toffoli had to answer.
Tavares like had the wide open net to score, and he lost the puck. And Georgiev tripped on his like laces or something. I don't know. It just looked like youth hockey. It looked like literally a pickup game on Sunday morning at your local rec rink when Tavares went on the shootout.
Yeah, and last night it was unfortunate how quickly, again, overtime came to an end for the Sabres.
Yep.
They haven't won an OT game a game in OT, I should say, since the California sweep, that road trip where they
Anaheim?
Exactly, and you know they haven't played a ton. I think you know you look at teams like the Flyers, and it feels like they go to overtime every night. Buffalo's played 10 overtime games this year, which is a little on the low side, and they're 4-6 in those situations. San Jose has gone 14 times; they're 5-9. But as mentioned, they just picked up their first shootout win of the season this year. Remember early in the year, you were really impressed with just how Celebrini took it upon himself because they lost like two or three games in a row via a shootout, and they, you know, he wasn't scoring in it.
Yeah, he said it's
and,
on me.
And it was just like, wow, like this is impressive. And there have been so many markers, kind of, if you will, just where you watch little moments in a game and you think even despite his age, it's like, holy cow, this kid's compete level and his intelligence out there is just remarkable. So how do you counter that? We heard from Thompson after the game last night. We heard a lot of talk about the power play. It's not a normal game day morning, right? You're back-to-back, so you don't have the same potential for setup. But we're also 60 games in after tonight. So, you know, maybe just reiterate to people what your takeaway was from the players talking about overnight on the power play.
Well, you asked me in the postgame last night about the power play. My first thing was, the power play needs to become a shooting power play. It needs to go back to Thompson on the left flank with the one-timer because they tried to go away from that because he wasn't as healthy. And maybe they were trying to give him a different look.
Yeah.
But now, I mean, that shot last night was 99 miles an hour from way out off the wall. His stick almost touched the glass when he was waiting for it. A fan could have reached over and grabbed it out of his hands, but he beat Montembeau clean on the 99 mile an hour shot. I say, keep feeding Thompson that. And Tage Thompson, after the game, had a very smart comment. He said, when teams are in their setup on the penalty kill, one way to get them out of their setup and open up lanes is shot, rebound, get a puck recovery, and then they start chasing because they get out of position. And I thought that was great awareness and a smart response from Tage Thompson because right now they're not moving anybody on the penalty kill. They're trying to make set plays from a very static formation. But last night, Montreal didn't chase.
Right.
And if you don't get San Jose to chase to the corners or chase to the half wall, nothing's going to open. So Tage Thompson saying, we need shots, we need shots, we need recoveries. I was like, okay, that's his. I don't want to hear anymore. Get the shots, get Tage on the left flank, and get him going.
All right, it is Bills night. It's going to be an awful lot of fun here at KeyBank Center. First 10,000 fans will receive the Squish the Fish towel. We'll have Bills personalities present, giveaways, games, an awful lot more. 6:30 pregame coverage on MSG. And Bills and Sabres COO Pete Gowelly coming up next on Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome back on this game day here at KeyBank Center. Sabres and...
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow the Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
San Jose Sharks, and it's Bills night, and we have Sabres COO, Bills COO, Sabres alternate governor, Pete Gowelly with us. Welcome. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Great to be here.
Yeah, it is great to be here. It's a quick turnaround for Buffalo after last night and the overtime game in Montreal, but it's also very close to a year in for you in your position here. So how would you describe that?
Yeah, we're closing in on. I think it's April. You know, I don't track those dates too closely, Duffer, because you just get to work when you get here. But honestly, it's been amazing to come back home and be part of these two great franchises and kind of get to know everybody again and engage with the fans. And, you know, there's so many great things going on across both organizations, and there's so much potential in the future. It's hard to put into words, but it's incredibly exciting, incredibly motivating, incredibly gratifying to be back.
When I was playing here in Buffalo, it was like separation between Bills and Sabres. Like, we never intertwined. We never did anything together. It was complete separation. But now we have Bills night here tonight, at KeyBank Center. And obviously with Terry and Kim, it's been, you know, the two teams have been connected. How excited is it for not only the organizations but the fans to be able to see the two teams working together?
It's somewhat unique. It's not like there aren't owners that don't own multiple teams, but in a market as provincial as Buffalo, there's a lot of synergy between the franchises. There's a lot of overlap between the fan bases. So to me, it's only natural that we would explore it. This is the first Bills night that we've done. We're celebrating a great season that we had here. We wanted to make sure we're sharing it with the fans here at KeyBank Center tonight. So it's going to be, I think it's going to be interesting to see how everybody responds to it. But so far, everything that we've done, people have been very excited about.
What are you excited most about it?
You know, it's interesting. Coach McDermott's coming over here a little bit. I don't want to disclose what he's doing, but he's coming in a couple hours, and he's really excited to come here and be a part of it. I think, to me, seeing how the people on the Bills side are reacting to be part of what we're doing over at the Sabres is the thing that's been the coolest to me. It's been a lot of everyone's great ideas, a lot of cooperation, and it's just the first one that we've done, so it's going to continue to evolve and grow. But how excited people are to be a part of what's going on over here has been the best part.
Do you love seeing Bills players at Sabres games? Because it feels like, for many of them, it is a truly eye-opening experience that they embrace the second they get down close to the ice.
Yeah, I think it's that goes back to the provincial nature of being in a market like Buffalo. This is what we are. You know, we're the Bills, we're the Sabres. It's an incredible place to live. It's the city of good neighbors for a reason. But these players, when they come in on the Bills side, they immediately get drawn to what's going on over here and kind of meeting with their counterparts and understanding the game. And if they're not fans of the NHL when they got here, they become fans really quickly. So seeing them show up, I think to them it's very novel in a way to be a part of something that maybe they didn't grow up with. Mm-hmm. But they've embraced it from the day they get here. So it's fun to see them come in here and be a part of what we're doing.
Last time we talked to you, we talked about your relationship with Michael Jordan when you were in the NBA and, you know, working for him. And obviously you've been through the NFL with other organizations too. But what about the NHL? What have you found out about the NHL that you say, wow, this is really cool and we're all going in the right direction? And it's exciting because of many different things that have happened.
I think the NHL is having a moment. I really think there's an opportunity here. When I walked into my first Board of Governors meeting, I was really impressed by the people that were in the room. Mm-hmm. A lot of people like us that have multiple franchises with different perspectives, really progressive thinkers, commercially minded owners. I was impressed. I saw a lot of the things when I walked into the NHL Board of Governors that I saw when I walked into my first NBA Board of Governors meeting, and you know how that league has grown. And then to see the things like the Four Nations and how successful that was, and the Stadium Series and how successful that was, I think the NHL is really poised for great things, and they're all things that we want to be a part of. You know, we want to see the NHL grow, and we want to be part of things like the Stadium Series in the future. So as the NHL is growing and looking for new ways to advance, the Sabres need to be part of those discussions.
Obviously, the new building for the Bills, does that put maybe the Sabres higher up with having maybe another kind of Winter Classic or Stadium Series, but in a building that's just across the street?
I think it does. I think, you know, that's a world-class facility in a market like Buffalo that we know is incredibly passionate about hockey. So that should move us to the top of the list. And I've already had conversations with my counterparts over at the NHL, let them know that we're interested. Anything like that, I think we'd be a good fit for. I think the market is obviously puts us in that position, but the stadium really gives us an advantage now as well.
Who would your ideal opponent be in that game?
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't mind playing that team we played last night because, you know, that's turned into a little bit of a rivalry.
And has been since day one. Honestly, I think that's a really cool avenue to explore because obviously we know, you know, just kind of how rabid the fans are in this particular
And the Knox
matchup.
Family, when Seymour bought the team,
right,
he was a big Jean Béliveau fan, Montreal Canadiens fan. Like, that was the thing, right? So I would like to see that. I'd like to see the other team that is up north, but a little closer to maybe Toronto and yep. make that happen and send them home packing after a game.
There's naturals.
Like they did in the Heritage Classic, which was like we very cool yeah. in Hamilton, yeah.
There's natural synergy between both. I mean, you know, they travel. Those fan bases travel. It would... If you bring them into a stadium like ours, I could see that almost being a little bit like a soccer match where you've got these kind of competing interests going together. But look, either way, no matter who we bring in there, I know Buffalo will show up and it'll be an incredible environment for an event like that.
You mentioned your first Board of Governors meeting. We often feel like it's a very small community that we live in, working in the sports business. Were there many familiar faces at all? Did you know anybody when you walked into that room? And just what was that experience like?
Yeah, I did. You know, obviously Kroenke's own NFL team and a team in the NHL, you know, look across and you see Ted Leonsis there from Washington, who I knew from the NBA. We sit right next to the Jacobs family on our left. I could go on. So a lot of familiar faces when you walk in there and a lot of really successful owners who have built great franchises in multiple sports. So that's why when you walk in and you see those type of people and you see how successful you are, you feel really good about the prospects of the league. And then as I come in and I start to see more and more about what we're doing here and some of the other successful programs that Gary and the group have launched at the NHL, you start to feel really bullish about the prospects of the league.
I know we want to talk about some new things coming up and, you know, the season tickets renewal. But before that, trade deadline is Friday, and it's always busy the week before the trade deadline, especially since we had a two-week Four Nations face-off break. How involved have you been, like, in the meetings and kind of paying attention to what the organization, what have you seen on the ice and where this is all going to go?
Yeah, look, I mean, that's Kevin's department, but we're communicating on a consistent basis about everything we're doing. And ultimately, the goal is to get better. Like, there's no way to hide from 13 seasons of not being in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. It's on everybody's mind. It's got to be corrected. I do know from talking to Terry consistently that every resource we need at our disposal is there. We'll do whatever we need to do to improve this team and create an organization that the fans of Buffalo can be proud of. So I'm going down. You know, I'm going to be down there when that's going on because it's an important moment in time, I think, for the organization. It's always hard to say what's going to transpire, but I can tell you it won't be for lack of effort. So the whole focus is on improving the team and putting us in a position to break this playoff drought.
And obviously you hear from the fans about that, and you're here to talk primarily, but we appreciate all the insight on all the other stuff, just about ticket renewals for this upcoming season. Like, when we say that, like, what's the first thing that is most important right now?
Yeah, there's a few that jump out. And look, we talked about my year anniversary coming up, but I've really spent the last year listening, you know, talking to the staff internally on what works and what doesn't. But most importantly, you know, we survey our customers consistently. They're constantly talking to their reps. We hear what they're saying on social media. And I thought it was important to let them know that we're listening. So obviously the first thing that comes up is team performance. And there's nothing I can say today that's going to satisfy anybody at the moment, other than the fact that we're working on it and every resource we need is available for us to improve. The second thing that comes up is pricing. And so when I went down to Florida, I met with Tara. We started talking about our plan for next year and all the different things we wanted to do. And we felt it was important to make sure there were no price increases, that we went out flat. And, you know, I hope people see that as a gesture. I mean, and we know everything's going up across the board, but we felt like, look, we need to be accountable to our fans. We're not where we want to be. We're going to go out flat and try to get as many people back as we can, because we can't do it without the fans. They are incredibly passionate. They're incredibly loyal. We need our season ticket holders back so we can build something dramatic here. And, you know, the players have played well here at home this year, and I think they respond to our fans when they're in the building. So that was number one. The second thing that comes up all the time is, you know, what's the value proposition? If I'm coming here and I'm buying a ticket, I've got to come in and I've got to park, I've got to feed my family, I got to go in and buy merchandise. What's a night at the arena look like? So the second thing that typically comes up is concessions. And last year, I thought we did something relatively dramatic when we put the 25% discount in for season ticket holders across the board on anything they buy at concessions. And we want to take it a step further next year. So we're going to put a value menu in place. We've seen it be successful at other venues. Pick the top items. You create a set price for those items. We're going to determine what they are over the summer and then roll that out next year. So if people want to come in and make sure they're getting the absolute best value they can when they come in here, come to the game. Hopefully we'll play a great game. Make sure the fan experience is good. Make sure the concessions are great. Make sure there's great options for them at retail. So when they come in, they can have a great night across the board. That was the second thing that came up in those conversations. And I think we're trying to address as many of those things as we can, Duffer, like listening to our fans, understanding what they need, and anything that they call out as important. If we can address it, we're going to address it.
Do you have early returns, reactions to it?
Anecdotally, yeah. I think people are excited. That I think more importantly that we're listening. It's not even as much as what you're doing. Are you listening to our concerns, and are you addressing them? That's what I found out throughout my career. That's the most important thing to season ticket holders. And there's some things that are in your control, and there's some things that are out of your control. But if they're in your control, let's do something about it. So far, the response has been great.
What do you say to fans that say, we want to wait for the product on the ice to win before we get in and we buy season tickets? What's the... You know, because that's something I hear, like when I'm out in public and people are like, we want to make sure the team is going to be successful. And so what would be your response to that?
I think, first of all, I think we understand. You know, we get it. I think we want everybody to be a part of what we're doing. We've got some great young players out there. We've been one of the better 5-on-5 teams this year. We've played some exciting hockey. So with the changes that we're making going into the next season, the way the young team is advancing, our hope is that people want to be a part of that, want to come out here and see it live at the arena, and would enjoy the hockey that we're playing while the process is continuing.
What's next in the arena after the summer that was here in the arena?
You know, last summer, obviously, we made a big change with the scoreboard behind us, and we've evaluated a number of things. Nothing I want to disclose at the moment, but there will be more changes over the summer. I said from the day I started that this is just the beginning. We made some changes last year. We're already making some changes for next year. We're going to make more changes over the summer. And the goal is, again, to make the fan experience as good as it can possibly be in the building. So when people walk in from the street to the seat, that they're enjoying everything they're seeing when they're in here, and they understand that we're listening and trying to create an environment where they know they're valued.
One of the things you also did when you came over just about a year ago was you wanted to make this building a hub for entertainment, concerts. Last night we had wrestling.
Yeah.
And before the pandemic, I felt like there was a buzz around the arena where things were building, and then obviously it slowed down. Is this part of being like, hey, we want to make this the arena district like even better than what people can envision it to be?
Yeah, it starts with programming the building, right? We know we have the 41 Sabres games. We know we have the 10 Bandits games, and those have been going incredibly well.
Yeah.
And I've been very happy with the response to the events. You know, when we've been hosting events this year, people have showed up for them. Wrestling was great the other night. We've got a Shane Gillis comedy event coming up. It's already sold out. There's a number of things coming up late spring and early summer. And every day we're ideating on more things that we can do. If it's an event that's out there that's been successful somewhere, why can't we have it in Buffalo? So we're having those conversations every single day, and the goal is to program the building as many nights as possible. Really pleased with how this year has gone so far, but it's really just the beginning. We're going to continue to focus on that until this building is programmed for over 150 nights a year.
I've told you, Duffer, I'm looking at Hart. They're coming like soon, and that's maybe, you know, more my generation, but there seems to be things for every generation. The younger demographic, the older demographic, like you're thinking about everybody in the area wanting to come here.
And unique events, right? We know the concerts and we know the family shows and obviously the comedy events, but things like the PWHL, and we're talking to colleges about potential basketball events here as well. You know, we've got the NCAAs coming up in 2026. So everything is on the radar, the things I think people would enjoy. But I think most importantly, like, Buffalo is a great market for these events. People will show up and they want to be a part of it. Everything that we've thrown here this year has been really well received. So, again, we're going to double down on that. We want to make sure, you know, we're operating at a high level for the Sabres. Things are obviously going great with the Bandits. But how can we bring as many events into this building? Because it's not just about the building and our fans. It's about everything that's going on around in Buffalo. We know we can be a catalyst for growth in the city of Buffalo, and we know bringing people downtown is the most important thing we can do.
What was your first big arena or stadium event that you attended as a kid?
As a kid, I went to an REO Speedwagon concert in Rochester, so I don't know if that dates me.
Love that.
Yeah,
I'm trying to remember the venue.
It was at Blue Cross Blue Shield Arena Rochester.
Wow.
So, yeah, you know, I grew up here, you know, and so a lot of the things that happened there, we're trying to recreate in Buffalo and vice versa. And it's been fun to be back and just, you know, a lot of those memories come flooding back every time, you know, you do anything around here.
Duffer, what was yours?
Scorpions.
Oh, yeah. And I can't say...
It was the heavy metal hurricane. It was Scorpions, oh, yeah. Quiet Riot, Kick-Axe, and Helix.
Well, I can't
I don't feel
say
so bad about Arrow Speedwagon.
I was going to say,
that.
My very first one as a kid was New Kids on the Block in Quebec City. So people are going to be laughing now. Yeah. But here in Buffalo was Garth Brooks. When they did like seven straight shows a
when
whole
did
week.
Two a night.
Yeah, and yeah. I remember I was sitting right where the Zamboni entrance at. We were literally like behind the stage, but there was people yep. all around. And I didn't even know Garth Brooks was. I didn't really know country music, and I came to the concert, and I was like, this is unbelievable. Bit of fancy.
He's lived a sheltered life.
Well, he's going to have to come out now this summer for George Strait and Chris Stapleton.
Yeah, I may have to do that.
Don't forget Parker McCollum on the bill. Yep. He is absolutely one of my favorites. So, first big sporting event you attended?
Well, that's a tough one. You know, I've been to a lot of Super Bowls in my day, too many to count. So I probably would lean into that. I can't tell you the exact one going back, but, you know, they're all unique. Candidly, I didn't enjoy this one at all.
Yeah.
Because I really felt like we should have been there. And after watching the game, I felt even more, you know, like we should have been there. So, you know, no one's going to be satisfied until we get back there and we win.
And I know you want to, like, Super Bowl is big and people want to go. But you have been to some and you've watched it from home, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
What's the experience different? Because people always say, oh, I'd rather be home and watching the Super Bowl. Yeah. I can watch the game. Because when you're there, there's a lot of distractions.
Yeah.
But can you actually watch the game when you're at the Super Bowl?
Yeah, you can. I mean, it's a spectacle, and there's definitely a lot of distractions. And there's a lot of people kind of in and out, so there's a lot of people watching going on and a lot happening kind of behind the scenes. Yeah. But I think going is still a very special experience. I think it's different when you have a team that's as competitive as ours, and, you know, there's only one goal, and that's to get there. It makes things a little bit different when you're in the audience than maybe, you know, 20 years ago when maybe that wasn't necessarily the case and you're going and you're just kind of enjoying being at the game.
Yeah.
It takes on a different feel.
So when next year the Bills make it, we're saying Bills Mafia, go. It's a good experience. Everybody should go.
I don't. There's no question Bills Mafia will be there. They show up everywhere. So
I'm
highly confident that if that happens, we'll be well represented.
I have a feeling we're going to see you real soon.
Yeah.
Thank you for stopping by
today.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having me. Great seeing you guys.
Pete Gowelli here on Sabres Live. We're back after this.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Our thanks again to Pete Gowelli for joining us here on this Bills night. It's Sabres with a Bills theme in-house as San Jose is in town. And yes, first 10,000 get the Squish the Fish rally towel. Should be an awful lot of fun. And
you know what this is great for?
I don't know. I think
there are many uses you can use it. But for me, this will be fantastic on my golf bag.
Oh.
Like a little clip here. This is my, like, golf bag towel. I think it would be special. It would be different.
Does this mean you're going to get back out on the course a little more? I mean, my only concern was you've kind of poo-pooed the golf game here for a number of years. So.
I have poo-pooed the golf game, and not because I don't want to play, because, well, we have a show to do from 12 to 1, and my game went the wrong way because I wasn't playing enough, and then I got frustrated. But I might try to, just because my one daughter...
Oh, look,
I think
there's another cold
do,
civilian walking through the concourse.
There's a lot of Squish the Fish wanting to happen. We've got towels now. Everybody's showing up. My one daughter wants to play golf with our high school because she has a few friends in it. So she's like, will you go to the range and play with me this summer? So maybe I'll have to do that.
Oh, that sounds amazing. I love that.
But look, it would be great on a bag. It's not too long. I hate golf towels that are long that drag on the ground.
Stupid, right?
Like this is
like
perfect
I get
size.
It. I get it. Like you need more square footage because an area of the towel gets dirty. You need more and more area of clean towel to clean the clubs when you're playing it. I get it, but I'm with you. Like
we're not professional golfers.
Kind of hate the long towel. Okay, long and short of it. What are you looking for tonight?
Strong start. I think that's the key. Look, last night's first period was obviously, as Lindy Ruff and many of the players talked about, was unacceptable. Mm-hmm. The 5-on-5 play was fine. Special teams and discipline was absolutely at a 0 out of 10. So that to me, if you're coming into the room at 5 o'clock and you're sitting around like, hey, How about we stay out of the box?
But like,
and how about our special teams do the job?
Yeah, I mean, I guess last night it really was special teams. You know, in the first 14 minutes, that undid it. I just wonder if there isn't something beyond, like, it, again, because it wasn't just last night, right? Like the Carolina game, I don't think was special teams.
Rantanen scored the game-winning goal, 3-0.
Well, right, the 3-0 goal was power play.
And the power play didn't create anything for Buffalo.
Yeah.
And then the game before that was Anaheim. They got two, and the Rangers got one.
Well, I guess then, not that, you know, nothing for nothing as far as starts of games and special teams, but because of the point of emphasis of power play and Thompson's words and others after the game last night and where they currently rank, like, do you think there's going to be something noticeable in the mentality of the first power play for Buffalo tonight?
Well, I mean, that's just me, and I've never coached in the NHL or at any level, really. But I think if I was to set up my first power play unit, I would go Dahlin in the middle, Jiří Kulík on the right flank, Thompson on the left flank, and a bumper and a net presence. But they would almost be like two net presence and saying, okay, you know what? I'm just going to play catch with Kulik and Thompson. And when you guys have a sweet spot, you let it go. And then we have two guys at the net. Mm-hmm. And now San Jose's got to decide, are we going to stay in the traditional, you know, penalty killing where we have, you know, two guys up top, two guys down low? Or do we go one up top, three down low? Mm-hmm. And maybe that opens up things that puts them in the bad, in a bad situation. That's all you're trying to do.
Yeah.
Is put the other team in an uncomfortable situation so you get more opportunities.
And obviously San Jose comes in off a shootout win against Toronto. Just what are, and but two wins in the last 16.
Yeah.
What do you expect here as far as, you know, where the Sharks are at and just the overall kind of team matchup tonight?
A lot of work left on the table for Mike Greer, who's the general manager of former Sabres, obviously, and he was a big part of the success of the Sabres in his experience, maturity-wise, but a lot of work left. So I think they're going to be active at the deadline just to be able to make some of their transactions that are needed.
Seneca, Buffalo Creek for you. Pre-game coverage 6:30 for us on MSG tonight. Guests over there.
Curtis Brown will be my
former
guest.
Shark.
Looking forward to talk to him. Brad May will be there. Who else is there? I forget.
This is the perfect tease. It's like the unintentional, I forgot, but stay tuned because there's more. We'll see you at 6:30 tonight.